This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com and be sure to use discount code 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS to save 10%. TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 186. I am Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Joining me, Ed from the Maz Disney blog. Ed, what is happening?
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It is going great.
Before we start, I just wanted to really kind of make a quick note. A couple shows back, I did some thank yous. I wanted to reach out to a lot of the people that help us on the Disney Nerds with the podcast and the Facebook page and all the aspects of the community we've become. And the one person I forgot, and I really, really am so sorry about it, was our good friend Steve Wise. Steve has the photography group on Facebook. He also posts pictures for us on our header on the Facebook group page. And he just keeps surprising us with such great pictures, and they're always really, really good. So again, Steve, accept my apology, and thank you very much.
Incredible dark ride pictures, which are impossible to take, by the way, but he does a cool job.
It's just amazing each time I see a new picture from Steve.
So last trip, Ed, I was able to catch the brand new Nighttime Spectacular at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's right. I finally had a chance to watch that, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it live.
And it's something like that that sparks my imagination and wants me to go back and kind of uncover where things came from. So I thought this was a perfect opportunity to look at the history of fireworks at the Magic Kingdom.
You know, you really don't think about it because you just go, you see the schedule, and you go to the fireworks, and you really have a good time. But you're right. You really don't kind of track where they came from, or even there's been changes.
Obviously, this change, everybody knows, because I think Wishes was so sentimental to so many people, and I understand that. But I also remember when Wishes was introduced, it was Fantasy in the Sky before that. And actually, Fantasy in the Sky traces its roots all the way back to Disneyland, because I don't think any Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom story starts without some influence from Disneyland and Walt himself, right?
Oh, sure. It's the definitely mirror park of all the Walt Disney World parks.
It is. And if you go back, Disneyland, of course, opened in 1955 in Anaheim, California, and it did not have fireworks right away. In fact, it was 3 years before Fantasy in the Sky, the first fireworks show, debuted. And a lot of that was because Walt noticed people were leaving the park after they used all of their tickets, because then you had the A, B, C, D, and E tickets. Or they were leaving for dinner, and he wanted a reason to keep people in the park. And what better way than a fireworks show? And that's where it started, all the way back then.
Nice. And I totally believe that about Walt Disney. He might want to bring happiness and enjoyment, but it's all about keeping people in the park.
Keep people in the park. Keep them at the restaurants in the park, at the counter services, maybe buying another ticket book. All of that good stuff. Now, the interesting, a couple of interesting things regarding the first fireworks show. Number one, a lot of people think right away that Tinkerbell was always flying, because there's such a, and I know you have a connection to it, and I do, the image of Wonderful World of Color or the Sunday evening television show where you had Sleeping Beauty's castle and Tinkerbell would fly out in front of it and she'd sort of touch the castle and there was the fireworks behind it. And it was such, it's a great image. And I think everybody has memories of that.
Oh, no doubt. Every Sunday night. Totally.
Every Sunday night. So a lot of people think that Tinkerbell was always a part of the fireworks show. And in fact, she wasn't. In fact, if you think about it, Sleeping Beauty's castle isn't really tall enough to have somebody or Tinkerbell fly out. So it took a few years. And when the Matterhorn was constructed, that gave them the size or the height that they needed. And actually, the Matterhorn opened in 1959. And the first time Tinkerbell flew was June 9th, 1961. Tiny Klein, and I think we all know the story of the circus performer who was over 70 years old when she first did it. She was Tinkerbell.
Wow.
Pretty cool. And I'll include a picture in the show notes that is the circus queen and Tinkerbell, Tiny Klein, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I did not know that.
So, Fantasy in the Sky, one of the first fireworks show. And when Disney opened the second park in 1971 in Florida, it only made sense to sort of borrow that show that was going on in Disneyland. So that's exactly what they did. They were able to make it a little bigger because Cinderella's castle is much bigger, almost three times as big as Sleeping Beauty's castle. And that's really where the whole fireworks started. And I think we have some audio from an early version in Walt Disney World of Fantasy in the Sky. I think we should take a listen.
Okay, here we go.
In a place called Neverland, they lived a sparkling spirit named Tinkerbell. Legend has it that to this day she still flies over this magical land of fantasy. And the story is told for children of all ages that if you wish hard enough and believe strong enough, Tinkerbell will soar high above the magic kingdom and fight on the fantasy in the sky. Thank you.
There you go, Ed. Fantasy in the Sky from Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
And you know, it's amazing how it all comes back to listening to it again. And I totally remember the show. And to be honest with you, I might not have known that it had a name.
It was fireworks with some Disney music kind of mixed in.
Sure. Now, a couple of things I noticed was that, yeah, there was no voice narration. There was a basic narration, but there were no voices, which became the trademark of the fireworks shows as we continued on.
Absolutely. There was an introduction of Tinkerbell, right? She's up there. She's coming. She stays type of a thing. And if you look at it, you know, that particular score, there were multiple versions of this, including a 25th anniversary version. I'm not sure if they blew up birthday cakes or how they did that one.
I know, that's actually, I can't remember how they would have done it. I don't think they had the technology at that point to still even do it. I liked hearing Davy Crockett. I thought that was cool. Yep. That was throwback to Disneyland, totally. The same with the announced finale at the end. So the narrator comes back on for a second or two and basically says, okay, we're getting ready for the finale, so here we go with the big fireworks. Check it out.
Yeah, and it changed slightly, but basically that was Peter Pan, I've Got No Strings, I Loved It's a Small World, Grim Grimmy Ghost, Davy Crockett, Pirate's Life for me. Those four in a row really are signifying Magic Kingdom in my mind. Those are the lands. It covers all the bases. Then Under the Sea, A Whole New World, and When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And that is, you're right, classic Disneyland. Perfect.
Classic Disneyland imported to Walt Disney World. That's exactly what it was.
Yes, correct. Very nice. So where did they go from there?
So here's what's interesting when you look at it. Around 1999, well, let's step back a second. At Disneyland, when this first started, there were people in the back whose job it was to light these fireworks with a flare because there was no capability of pressing buttons to launch these things yet. So think about that back in the early 60s and late 50s. Interesting.
Yeah, not a fire hazard.
Not a fire hazard. Now, that did evolve into, you know, the push buttons, but there was still no computer here. Somebody was in the back pressing the buttons to launch the fireworks, to go with the music. So it really wasn't, it was still launched with gunpowder. It went up in the air. You didn't get the same show. It was sort of different all the time. And an interesting thing that Disney was working on in 1998-99 was the introduction of using compressed air technology so that they could time the explosions better with music, time the height, time how long it would take before the shell exploded. It was really an ALF, they call it, or an air launch system. And that technology allowed them to do quite a few interesting things. And one of the first places we saw that was actually over at Epcot for Illuminations. But that became very important in the next generation of fireworks, which Disneyland started for Disneyland's 45th anniversary in the year 2000. This one was called Believe, There's Magic in the Stars. Now, there was a holiday version of this that people absolutely loved, but I thought that Believe, even though it's at Disneyland, deserved to at least be mentioned here. And primarily because of the start, and you mentioned some of that, there was no narration. That changed with Believe. So let's go to Disneyland for a second. And there's a small clip in here, because ultimately this leads directly to Wishes at the Magic Kingdom. Ready?
Let's listen.
There's so many stars out there. You'll become her great wish as you lift your stars and magic and Close your eyes, make a wish, and believe there's magic in the stars.
Close your eyes.
I wish I never had to leave this magical place.
Thank you.
Yeah, now, I've never seen that show in person, so as we were listening to it, we were also watching it. And that is a pretty good show, and you're right, it does give us some warnings on what we're going to see in Wishes, including being told to wish for things ourselves and see what happens.
Well, Starlight, Star Bright, first star I see tonight. You could tell someone in Florida was watching the show going, I have an idea.
I did notice that they did have some of the fireworks that were the circles inside the circles. So it was pretty cool to see them starting to come out with that at this point, too.
Yeah, that's 2000. It's not all that long ago, but I guess that's 17 years.
It seems like, yeah, it is a long time ago, Sam.
I love Mary Poppins in there, Step in Time. That's my favorite part.
Oh, and I was going to say, I liked how Tarzan stood out. Yep. That was, again, one of my favorite movies back at the time when it came out. The one other thing that really kind of caught me, and I'm not sure if I ever noticed this in Walt Disney World or if, in fact, they ever do this with any of the shows, is that there was many times the castle in Disneyland for this show was full black. And it really was part of the show because everything behind it lit it up from behind. So you had the black castle with the white fireworks behind it. It was like a reverse silhouette. And it looked very cool, and it was totally planned. So I think that was a very good option they used here, considering how the castle is a little bit less impressive as the Walt Disney World castle.
Well,
they made it work.
It absolutely works. It works great. So that was 2000 for Disneyland's 45th anniversary. And you can see where things are going. We don't have just a bunch of random Disney music with fireworks in the background. This now became a production. There's a story. There's fireworks that are part of telling the story, believe. And I could see how an emotional connection was created, and that's exactly what happened at Disneyland. In fact, the Christmas version of this, Believe in Holiday Magic, is still people absolutely love that one. And I could see why you love this one. So back in Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom, Fantasy in the Sky was discontinued in 2003. So Fantasy in the Sky ran from 1971 to 2003. 32 years, Ed.
Now, do we count the time in Disneyland, or was it still different enough?
Disneyland was, I'm not counting Disneyland, just Walt Disney World Magic. 32 years it ran at that park. If you went to Magic Kingdom from 1971 to 2003, that's the show that you saw. Unless it was the 4th of July, Christmas, New Year's, or one of the holiday parties where they did things slightly different. That's a long time.
Right. And, you know, I never realized that. But you're right. I saw that as a kid, and then I saw it later on with my kid.
That's what 32 years does, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Another interesting thing here, this is before the big internet and the fan popularity that's out there today and podcasters like us. There was some speculation. Would Wishes be as good as Fantasy in the Sky? Could it live up? Would it be good? Because the crowd in Florida really didn't get to see that show that was in Disneyland, so they didn't know what was coming or have any hint of what was on the way.
Right, and there was really no blatant internet YouTube where you did get great videos back in 2001, so you're right. Nobody, if they didn't get to Disneyland, really saw that.
They didn't see it. So with that, we need to pay homage to Wishes here, don't we?
Of course. Isn't that the whole gist of the show? That's why I'm here tonight. Wait a minute.
Absolutely. So let's see if we can tune into Wishes.
When stars are born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true.
Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. Have the wish I wish tonight. We'll make a wish and do a dreamer do.
I'll bet a lot of you folks don't believe that about a wish coming true, do you? Well, I didn't either. Of course, I'm just a cricket. But let me tell you what made me change my mind. You see, the most fantastic, magical things can happen, and it all starts with a wish.
Thank you.
wish is a powerful thing, especially when it comes from the heart.
Is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret
Sometimes wishes can be granted in the most unexpected ways.
Whoa! 10,000 years to give you such a crick in the neck. Hello, people. Up here. Come on. We've got some wishes to grant.
Remember, always let your conscience be your guide. Let your conscience be your guide. Let your conscience be your guide.
Slave in the magic mirror, come from the farthest space. Through wind and darkness I summon thee. Let me see thy face. A blast of wind. To fan my fate, a thunderbolt to cast my spell. Alas, grant me my wish as well.
Thank you.
folks. You gotta be careful what you wish for around here, or you'll get yourself in an awful mess. But just when things look bad, fate steps in to see you through. Well, I'll be. It's the Blue Fairy!
Remember, we must always believe in our wishes, for they are the magic in the world. Now, let's all put our hearts together and make a wish come true.
Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. We'll make a wish and do a dream of soon.
You see, it's just like I told you. Wishes can come true if you believe in them with all your heart. And the best part is, you'll never run out of wishes. They're shining deep down inside of you. Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives.
Wishes is incredible. Here comes to my eye. That's my kids grew up on Wishes. They could sing it right now.
Absolutely. And my kids will just randomly start singing it sometimes.
Sure. But even just being in the park and all of us all kind of singing up the fireworks and enjoying it. And to be honest, we've seen Wishes from everywhere. Polynesian, contemporary, Grand Floridian, the parking lot, the monorail, the boat. From other, you know, other parks almost. You can see it from Epcot. If you're on the America side of the lake looking towards Spaceship Earth, you see the fireworks behind Spaceship Earth sometimes.
So,
yeah, Wishes, we're going to miss that.
And if you've seen it from all those spots.
I just got to keep watching. It's the emotional, I think, show in itself, the whole idea of the Wishes. And I think that is something that permeates it, which I'm hoping is something that's going to be in the new show, which I'm not sure about yet. And I tell you what, the show, I did notice it, the castle was a bigger character than the last show at Disneyland, in that it was changing colors to match the fireworks around it. No sign of the animation that is what the new show is all about at all. Even to the point of, toward the end, when they had all that new turrets added to the castle in Magic Kingdom, they were basically left dark. They weren't used at all in Wishes, which was fine, but it was, you know, I guess they were just waiting for the new show.
But when you think about it, they did so much to that hub. It's so much bigger than it used to be, and it's still jam-packed with people. It's amazing.
It is. And now, unfortunately, the only way to get the good lawn seats for the fireworks is the dessert show.
Right. Is a dessert party. So before we get there. Wishes premiered on October 9th, 2003. I think everyone knows there are many variants of that show, including Happy Hollow Wishes from Mickey's Not So Scary and Holiday Wishes from Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Videos of both of that out on Sam's Disney Diary if you're interested. There was also a version, Magic, Music, and Mayhem, for the Disney Pirate and Princess Party back in 2007, which I was never able to attend. Did you do a princess party by any chance?
I never did a princess party, but I do remember a version of the Wishes that they did have the pirates blowing the castle apart. So I don't know if they brought that into the park maybe for a little while also, on top of just being at the party.
I think that was Magic, Music, and Mayhem. I've never seen that one.
Okay, and I tell you what, that was pretty cool because that was, they actually did use the animations for that one where they were taking shots at the castle and blowing holes into it with cannonballs. It was a pretty good show. Maybe that was the Halloween show I saw when I went to that one Halloween party.
Might have been.
I don't know.
The Halloween show seemed to be the one that started using some of that technology, which, by the way, in 2011... The Magic, the Memories, and You, the castle projection technology premiered. And I think it's important to mention that because that becomes a very interesting part of a multimedia spectacular, which is what ultimately we evolved to with this next generation nighttime spectacular.
Oh, sure. And they're using it in literally every park. Yes. Hollywood Studios and their Star Wars Galactic Spectacular over at the Animal Kingdom on the Tree of Life. And Epcot, they do kind of light up the houses around the, or they light up the pavilions, but they also kind of use some technology on the Spaceship Earth itself sometimes.
That Spaceship Earth lit up, you have to wonder what's in store because we saw it as Mike Wazowski and as a Death Star, but both of those were one night only events.
Which is a shame, because you think they could do so much more than the lame laser they use for Siemens every time.
I agree with that.
But we'll see.
Absolutely. Things will evolve quickly. Now, originally, Wishes was sponsored by HP, and the sponsorship was later picked up by Pandora. And at the time on this show, we speculated that why would a new sponsor sign on unless there was a new show in the works somewhere? I don't know if you remember that, but that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, is it just a coincidence we're mentioning Pandora again just a week later?
Pandora Jeweler. That's what it's...
Of course.
That's good. There was another interesting clip, by the way, I will include in the show notes a wonderful, where that audio came from, Disney Parks Live when they did their Wishes event. It's absolutely wonderful. And if you go back to 2011 for Walt Disney World's 40th anniversary, they interviewed an Imagineer about the fireworks and 40 years of fireworks. And it's only 2 minutes long, and I thought it would be interesting to listen to that.
Even after 40 years, Disney continues to captivate our guests with our innovative and spectacular firework displays. At the Walt Disney Company, we tend to do everything big, and opening day at Magic Kingdom was no different. We started opening day with a fireworks show called Sky Spectacular. Now we have three shows that fire from three different parks on a nightly basis throughout the Walt Disney World. On holidays and New Year's Eve and 4th of July, we usually do custom shows. They are usually three or four times as large as what we do on a nightly basis. They're specifically choreographed for that time of the year. If it's Christmas time, we do a holiday show. We do a Halloween show during Halloween time. We do multiple 4th of July shows at all the parks. And of course, we have New Year's Eve, which is probably the biggest shows we do. Our shows at Walt Disney World are different than any other shows you'll see anywhere around the world. Careful consideration is given to the story, the characters that we'll be using in the show, how the music's going to interact with the characters, and how the fireworks will interact with the music. Back in the early days when the fireworks shows were first introduced at Magic Kingdom, the shows were fired manually by a technician, so there was a lot of human interaction with the firing of the show. We've now since evolved from that kind of technology to where we actually can choreograph the show on a computer, pinpoint accuracy for timing for all the shells, much better than what we used to do. We've come a long way. I think Walt would be ecstatic at what we've done over the last 40 years. When Walt was around, we didn't have any of the technology that we have right now. We're able to create his vision in a much more cohesive way with our storytelling and our characters and everything that he ever would have thought possible. At the end of the night, we want our guests to feel like they've seen something that they cannot get anywhere else but here. So when they leave, I know that they're going to be going home thinking about what they saw.
Now, he called that the Sky Spectacular, but it was actually the Fantasy in the Sky Spectacular. But
oh, very cool. Now, something he kind of triggered a memory about was toward the end of Wishes, well, not at the end, but maybe about 5 years ago, they started using the 360-degree fireworks. Might even be earlier than that. And that's when you basically were at one of the parties, usually is when they did this, and you'd be sitting on Main Street watching the fireworks, and then you would literally have fireworks everywhere, all the way behind Main Street and down behind you. To give you an example of just how different the fireworks were on those special nights, when we were at the Poly, we would see the fireworks. We saw the fireworks one night, just regular Wishes. And you basically saw the fireworks over the Magic Kingdom, a little bit toward Contemporary, but mainly over the Magic Kingdom. However, on the night where they had the special 360 fireworks, the Grief fireworks, they had fireworks, as you're looking at the Magic Kingdom from the Polynesian, all the way past where they have the canal where they store the electric water parade, and then all the way past the Contemporary, you would see fireworks just springing up from everywhere that you were totally immersed in the Magic Kingdom and fireworks. It was just incredible how they tried to extend
it. Very nice.
That.
I've seen those. They tend to be the holiday fireworks, right? Whether it's Hollow Wishes or Holiday Wishes from inside the park, but I've never seen them from outside. It's amazing when you're inside because they're literally everywhere around you, fireworks.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yes, really, yes.
So Wishes is awesome. Everybody loves Wishes. And, of course, the first thing you think is when it's going to be replaced. Oh, no, what are they going to do? How's this going to be better? And we found out on May 11th, 2017. Actually, back in February, we found out that Wishes was going to be going away after 14 years. So compare that to 32 years for Festival in the Sky and now 14 years for Wishes. And we're moving on to Happily Ever After. So with that, Happily Ever After has premiered at the Magic Kingdom as the newest fireworks show. But after seeing this firsthand, I would caution and say this is so much more than a fireworks show. This is a nighttime spectacular. This is projections, fireworks, lasers, smoke, you name it. It's all happening at the same time, and it's absolutely incredible to see how the new hub expansion, the new turrets, and everything is incorporated into this entire feel to pull you in and make you part of the show.
I saw a little bit of it, as you know, based on video, and I'm going to sit down and probably watch the entire thing. Or actually, I'm not sure at this point because I'm so impressed with what little I saw. I think I might want to surprise myself. However, when Sam mentioned they use the smoke, they literally are using smoke coming off previous fireworks and then waving lasers on it as if it's a water scene or as if it's a veil coming off something on the castle. I was just blown away with how they came up with that, and I got to watch now another night to make sure that's something that was planned. It was very, very cool.
Absolutely. And when you see it, the fact that the water scene and the underwater happens to coincide with the Little Mermaid and Ariel, you know that the whole thing's planned. What I found in watching this, to me, it completely sucked me in, and I thought to myself, I have no idea if I'm watching fireworks or if I'm watching the projection show. It really felt like I was watching World of Color at Disney's California Adventure, which is more about the story and watching things happen. And the fireworks almost, to me, became secondary. They enhanced the show. They weren't necessarily the show, if that makes sense.
They crossed the line then, because from our shows way back when in Disneyland, it was the fireworks. where the projections finally started enhancing the fireworks, and then even into Wishes, making it more come alive to where we're now, the projections are the main show, and you're right, the fireworks look to be the accessory. The finale, I heard, was phenomenal, so that might be totally not true the whole way through, but...
There are scenes where Merida pulls back her bow and lets it go, and it turns into a firework that shoots across the castle. And it's things like that where you just saw it happen, but was it a firework or was it the projection? It's both. It's like the lasers and the Death Star and the TIE fighters over at Studios. It's the same kind of effect where you're just taking this all in, and there's so much happening, and it's one of those things that... Although the video looks great, you need to see it.
Oh, I totally agree. That's why I even hate to even comment on it, because I've only seen video. Although I tell you what, there are some incredible videos out there of this new show. Some 4K videos that are out
even
of
the
world.
Disney Parks video I thought was really good.
Well, they have the best location.
Absolutely. Crane.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I was going to say, I saw somebody else's video, and to the right, you could see the crane operator holding the camera. That it's got to be the Disney Parks one, because there's no way somebody private would have had that.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I tell you what, then. Let's go ahead and listen to the new show.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us, and when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder take hold.
Feel it draw you in. Watch the moment unfold.
Spark a dream that we're meant to follow. Setting out for a new tomorrow.
destiny lies within you. You just have to be brave enough to see it, and then your journey begins.
Having a best friend by your side opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
some people are worth melting for.
Dresses is the most rare and beautiful of all.
You are more than what you think. you have become. Remember who you are.
Of a far-off place where a hero's welcome would be waiting for me.
Where the crowds would cheer when they see my face.
And a voice keeps saying, this is where I'm meant to be.
And so our journey comes to an end, but yours continues on. Grab hold of your dreams and make them come true, for you are the key to unlocking your own magic. Now go, let your dreams guide you. Reach out and find your happily ever after.
The battles, the stories, the losses and all the glory
were changed by the way we live every day. Just look up and reach to the sky.
We all have the courage to fly.
You can 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 fly.
Yeah, big time. Wow. That show is really good, and it's going to definitely be something we're going to want to see over and over again.
There's so much going on. There's so much to see, whether you focus on fireworks or focus on a part of the castle, the projections. There's so many little details where Quasimodo climbs all the way up and rings the bell at the top. And there's so much happening in this show that it's absolutely incredible.
Did you notice that they had fireworks that exploded in the shape of a 3D cube? They literally had it broken down with all the lines. It was, I don't know how they did that. And there was a couple in a row. It was crazy good.
This is the fireworks that were the shape of the Moana logo, right? It's, wow. How'd they do that?
Who was the voice at the end? He sounded so much like Scar.
That's a question.
I'm sure it's probably going to be an actor that's not named, because he would have probably been recognized at this point.
So here's my big question about this. The thing that I loved about the projection show was the fact that they could change little pieces of it in and out. Right, you could remove Wreck-It Ralph and put in a Valentine's Day thing, or pull out Valentine's Day and put in Christmas. It was very fluent, because you're just talking about video files and a computer that's going to play them in whatever order you want. If they can swap things out here, I don't know if that applies to the technology. In that preview we saw, it's nothing more than a computer program and having the right pyrotechnics. It shouldn't be that difficult to add a new movie if something becomes a hit. Which, by the way, one thing I did notice about this, they touched on so many properties. Watching it with the family, they're going, oh, look, there's Big Hero. Oh, look, there's, you name the character. They're all in there somewhere. It was...
You gotta be careful, Sam. I know the Imagineers that are listening to the show are probably cursing you out right now. That's hard to do. That's tough.
If it's the computer program, I saw it. It's no different than producing a podcast, Ed, and you're with that.
Well, and you know what? It probably is relatively simple to change something like that. You know where the tough part comes in? The whole planning behind the entire edition. Like, are you using the turrets? Are you going to have fireworks that are coordinated with this? So, you know what? Yeah, it is the imagination that's the hard part. The technology has actually made it a little bit easier to bring that to life.
Yeah, there's a couple of spots throughout this where it's sort of, I don't want to say generic, but because the music is great, but it's not a music that's tied to a property. So you'll see a whole bunch of things happening on the castle at once. You see Lightning McQueen and Mater are kind of coming across at the same time that, Big Hero's on the top, and there's another character here. So I can see them easily adding somebody there if one of the new movies becomes a hit. That I can see happening.
Sure. I mean, even having Moana in it says a lot right there, how quickly that happened.
As one of the core pieces of it, where she gets a song.
Right. Now, I'd love to see... I mentioned earlier on how the earlier fireworks show had Davy Crockett's theme. I'd love to see more of kind of the live-action Disney movies that did well come into it. I mean, at one point, I could have seen the castle turning Tron-like colored, or perhaps doing something else, you know...
It did feel like the best of Disney animation, and I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But one thing I love about World of Color, at least World of Color for the 60th anniversary, was that it spent some time taking you through attractions. So go all the way back to that first fireworks show we talked about, and they played It's a Small World. They played Grim, Grim, and Ghosts, and they did that in... World of Color, where they had, It's a Small World, and the whole thing lit up and sort of danced a little bit, and then it became Grim, Grim, and Ghosts, and you saw the hitchhiking ghosts, and then I would love to see something like that, but I understand what they're doing with the animation play.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's beautiful, and you're right. The watchability factor is out of this world, because you're not going to see everything the first couple times.
And
you see
where's
it.
The best spot now? Do you want to be right in front of the castle to watch the projections? Or
to start, yes. I'm going to try that, yes.
So if it's anything like Star Wars, nobody stands right in front of the theater. You can stand directly in front of it and watch the entire theater from 2 feet away, but you're not going to see any of the fireworks.
Right, sure, you pick your spot. Well, that's always been the challenge of the Magic Kingdom fireworks, in front of or behind the castle. Do you want to keep your head on a swivel, or do you want to stay in front of the castle where you're supposed to be?
You're supposed to
be. Either way is still fun.
Either way is, right. And Ed, I could talk about this with you all night, or we could start talking about projections, or we could talk about illuminations and what this might mean to a new show at Epcot for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, but that's for another day.
Oh, no doubt. Okay, well, that's it for show number 186. Am, thank you so much for that walk down the fireworks memory lane. I definitely learned something tonight, and it's definitely going to make seeing the next version of the nighttime show at the Magic Kingdom that much more special.
You're welcome, and I love it, and I can't wait to see what's next. And you guys, thank you for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Make sure you check us out, the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. Find us on Facebook. The group is Disney Nerds, all caps. And you can email the show, thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Thank you guys again for listening. I'm Sam. For Ed, we will see you next week. Congaloosh!
See you later, guys.